We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome to Scream Queens.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything on your screens. My name is Beck Childwood. I'm a comedian, writer, obviously podcaster. I didn't need to tell you that.
Thank you, but it's good to know.
Thank you. My name
is Alex J. I'm a writer, comedian, podcast producer, and guess what? We're both your new best friends. And tonight, we're recording for the first time with a glass of wine. So cheers, friends.
Cheers. We started this, our podcasting journey, on wine.
We absolutely did. We used to get blotto in the early days of Dude Cinema.
So fucked up. I would love to find out which records we got most drunk in. Or if you are a longtime listener of ours and you could tell.
Let us know. I remember which one it was. I can't remember which movie it was, but it was the one that we recorded in your old attic loft space.
Oh.
After a bottle of Pet Nat.
My God. What was that?
No idea. But it was a great time.
It was so fun.
Anyway, we're not going to do that today, you guys.
No.
Because we've got gigs to go to after this.
Yes.
But this is our review episode. This is our Wednesday episode. And we've got a little make good to do because a make good of a make good.
Yes. Last week we reviewed Quiet on Set and we were going to follow it up with a review of this thing. But then we were like, it is too sad and this is a fun thing. So now after 2 weeks of waiting, we are going to be talking about the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale.
Yes.
Now, I, until recently, had never seen an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
But you are a long-term diehard fan.
Love it.
What is your, when did you start watching it?
I came into it late. I probably came into it about 8 years ago. And so they did like the first six or seven, maybe eight seasons, and they had a really long hiatus and then came back in recent years, in the last few years, with 10, 11, 12. So we have just wrapped up the entire series, which a lot of us didn't think was going to happen because that was what was meant to have happened the first time before their big long hiatus.
Right.
And then Larry David is just Larry David. So he can say and do whatever he wants in Hollywood and people will make it happen.
Okay, this is going to be a very dumb question. Mm. He is a real person.
Yes.
Okay.
No, this is what I wanted.
Okay.
So basically, listeners, what we decided to do is, Beck has never seen an episode of Curb, never seen an episode of Seinfeld.
Ever. So, as a stand-up comedian.
No, cardinal which is fine, sin. But like, What an app to jump into. And so I wanted you to watch the finale fresh eyes.
Yes. But you were originally like, no, I don't know. I feel bad. And I was like, you know what I can do? I'm going to watch the first episode ever and then watch the last episode. And then I'll fill in the blanks.
Did you do that?
Yes.
You watched the first episode ever?
Yes. I had to know what was going on in the finale, Alexia.
I love it. Fuck. So good. Okay. So the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale was essentially a make good on the Seinfeld finale.
And I've heard that this was a shit show. Mm. Is this where Kramer said the N-word? No?
Imagine. It was Seinfeld that happened on.
A scripted TV show. And they went through edits and writer's rooms and people were like,
Network notes.
We'll see how it pans out in the edit of a show that is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars.
So Larry David is the co-creator of Seinfeld. So yes. Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld created and wrote the entirety of Seinfeld together.
Okay, that explains why he showed up at the end. And he was like a big part of it.
I love it.
Okay. And they talked about the Seinfeld finale. I was like, this is weird. This is like, not your show. Okay, this fills in a lot of blanks for me. Okay, so they're friends. And did they create Seinfeld together?
Yeah. They created Seinfeld together.
Oh, okay.
And George Costanza's character is based on Larry David in real life. So obviously Jerry Seinfeld's character is based on Jerry Seinfeld, but George Costanza is based on Larry David.
Okay.
So they created and wrote the entire series together.
Wait, why did he not star in Seinfeld then?
He's, I don't know. I just guess he's just didn't see himself as an actor back then, potentially.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay.
He was purely behind the scenes.
Crazy. So, he's beautiful to watch on screen.
Isn't he?
He truly has the vibe of, like, he's never aware of, like, where the camera is. He's just doing him.
He's very good. Like, this whole series is shot so well. Just a little backstory on the Curb series. So it was started, as you can tell, like, it's based on Larry's real life post Seinfeld. So it's him kind of like navigating the industry after coming off this massive, huge hit show. And then just kind of, I mean, I think the first season is he's just unemployed and Cheryl, his wife, is like, can you get a fucking job, please? You're killing me. But he's like, he co-created Seinfeld. Like, he's one of the richest men and forever will be one of the richest men. Like, royalties from Seinfeld.
God,
like,
damn, yeah.
That's lining his pocket for the rest of his life.
Which is crazy that it was shot at the same level as pornography was shot at the time. It's literally...
first season is ugly.
Dude, when they walk into the lounge room in the first scene and he's got like the pads tent, I was like, is she about to jack him off? This is so porny, it's crazy.
Yeah, the early seasons were rogue as fuck. Like, it's interesting, like, to me anyway, the seasons, especially the new seasons in the last few years, like, they've really hammed up all of the, just all the comedy and the characteristics. Like, it's much more sitcom-y now, which I love. Like, see, it's interesting. Luke, my partner, enjoys the early seasons more because they're more just raw and real.
Mm.
I really like these where they're, like, leaning into their characters. Everything's over the top. It's got, real sitcom vibes.
Yeah.
So Larry David dipped out of Seinfeld, I think, in season 7. So he didn't write on the last two seasons of Seinfeld. I still think they're great seasons, but he came back for the finale.
Oh, okay.
On purpose, to be like, I mean, I'm
this is my baby.
But this is my baby. I'm going to help finish it up and close it off.
Like when you get married and then all of a sudden your dad's there and you're like, where the fuck have you been?
Oh, you're here for the fun.
Oh,
the fun party part of it. Okay.
No, I love you.
I love you. Nice to see you. That's exactly what it is. And unfortunately, it was a big flop, the finale. And I mean... fucking hard to finale a show that was so monumental as Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I agree. I didn't like it.
What was bad about it?
It just diverted from the structure and vibe of the entire 9 seasons of Seinfeld.
Mm.
And so maybe like that was like the point of it because it's the finale, so they're going out with a big bang. But Seinfeld was just about, it's literally the thing is like it's a show about nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just friends chatting about menial shit that doesn't mean anything or matter. Mm. They did an entire episode once, which is iconic, of the four of them, the four main cast. The entire episode is them waiting for a table at a Chinese restaurant, just sitting in the at the front of the restaurant, waiting for their name to be called and the chats that happened during that time.
Fun.
Yes.
That's a really good like writing exercise.
True. Yeah. Like how much comedy can you mine from just these four characters just getting frustrated waiting for their table at a Chinese restaurant.
Wow, that's like really good, like a comedy writing exercise. Did that eventuate in anything? Oh, an episode of TV.
The show Seinfeld, yeah. Okay.
There we go. He's kind of smart. They're like smart, I'll tell you that much.
These two guys, they've got something going on. So the finale was disliked because in it, basically the four main characters go on a trip and then they have to land the plane that they're flying in a random town in America. And in that time, when they land, they see a mugging happen in the street and they don't do anything to stop it or to help it because they're these narcissistic New York types. And that's like the that's their whole thing.
I do know that about Seinfeld is that everyone's like, oh, they're bad people. And from the outside, I was like, then why watch the show?
Right. No, exactly. And I think that's why it was also so huge because it was like one of the first, especially like funny sitcoms where none of the characters are likable. Well, they're all likable. Everyone has a favorite. Everyone, like, they're all fucking funny. But at their core, in terms of like as humans, their values, they are not good people.
Mm.
So that's like, the kind of the whole thing of the finale is that they see someone getting mugged. They don't do anything to stop it. They just make fun of it because they're New York narcissists.
Oh, yeah.
And then this random town, turns out, has recently brought in this law called the Good Samaritan Law, where if you stand by while a crime is happening, you will also get convicted and punished as well.
Oh, okay. this is messy.
It's messy, right? It's like introducing so much.
And also in a law that makes episode. No fucking sense.
Yeah, it's just, I think they went too big for the finale. And so basically the finale is a court case where they are being tried for being bad people.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they bring basically on all of these cameos, all of these characters that have shown up throughout the series that have been treated poorly by these four people as character witnesses. And it's like, it kind of ends up being a bit of a clip show.
Right.
Because they're like, okay, next witness to the stand is the Soup Nazi, which is a big character from an episode. And so then he comes on. Then we see.
Hey, I'm in the zeitgeist. I know what
Soup Nazi. Yeah. No soup for you.
Yes.
But then we see a clip of that kind of thing. So it just kind of ended up being a bit of a glorified clip show. It diverted way too much from the original vibe of the show.
Oh, okay.
And it was just disappointing because, like, it ends and they're just in the holding cell. They've been convicted and they're just like, it ends with, which is also very sweet. It ends with them having almost the exact same discussion and chat that they have at the beginning of episode one of Seinfeld.
I love that shit.
Yeah. So people didn't like it. It's famously disliked as a finale for such a huge iconic show. But at the same time, how do you wrap up a show that everyone's going to be happy about?
After what, nine seasons?
Nine seasons, yeah. I mean, I've heard about the Lost finale. That was disappointing.
That was season three was like, guys,
really?
Give up.
Yeah. The Sopranos finale was disappointing.
Yeah. I saw footage of someone reacting to The Sopranos.
Really?
Like a dad reacting to it recently. Be like, what the fuck?
So it's a hard thing to do. And so anyway, this is a burden and a cross that Larry David has bared this entire time is that he came back for the finale and it was a stinker. So I didn't know this originally. No one did. But when season 12 of Curb started, we knew it was the final season.
Mm.
And they start to introduce this storyline where Larry's going to be charged for something. And it wasn't until, I mean, maybe episode 4 or 5, and good friend of the pod, Alexi Toliopoulos, posited to me, he said, I think they're going to do a replica of the Seinfeld finale. And the finale is going to be Larry David in court. Similar stuff. But
Is foretold.
But do it as a make good and correct all of the shit they got wrong in the Seinfeld finale. And as soon as he said that, I was like, that's exactly what they're doing. You're a fucking genius. And I'm so in. Like, what an excellent full circle moment for all Seinfeld and Curb fans.
Oh.
All right. So we'll move on to the Curb finale.
Yes.
So, no, actually, I would like to know your impressions of episode one of Curb.
Okay. Porny. Such, like, honestly, at any point, someone could be like, well, I guess we'll have to figure out payment, and then a beautiful blonde could come with big tits and it would make perfect sense.
So true. It's so gritty and grimy.
Yeah. And just like the lighting and everything is
it's gray and white. It's ugly.
So I've heard this. A lot of it is not scripted.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the thing I love about Curb is most of the scenes, like they're directed, they're like in this scene, this needs to happen in the conversation and this is where we need to get to end it.
Yeah.
But everything is improvised.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense because a lot of time I felt like I was just watching someone.
Like a reality show?
Yeah. Not even a reality show. Just people doing things like a home video almost.
Yes,
And then you turn and you like cross a conversation that you shouldn't be watching and it's awkward. But instead of turning away, they just stay on that. It's really cool. I was like, oh, okay. I haven't seen TV like this before. This is a really interesting concept and format, and I don't know how the fuck they got it off the ground.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine pitching something and be like, so not a script.
No script.
It's just this guy. We're going to make it up.
Being a guy.
Yeah.
The reason they pitched and got that over the line is because it's Larry David. Like, that's what I mean. Even though they've done this big finale, they've wrapped up Curb, I think Larry David has such pull in Hollywood that if he woke up in 2 years and was like, I want to do another season, actually, I think they'd be like, yes, absolutely, you can do whatever you want, Larry.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
He's fascinating.
Isn't he? What's your impression of Larry?
That guy that you just can't please, goddammit. There's got to be an issue with everything.
Yes, he's a curmudgeon through and through.
A curmudgeon. And I'll be honest, the first episode I was like, oh, so it's just this forever? And then it...
It is.
At the end, I was like, oh, it was. Okay.
That's so funny. You spend 12 seasons and you're like, oh, it is just this.
It's just him just being like, what? No. What are you talking about?
It's basically, so it's like Seinfeld, but on crack. So Seinfeld was all just like show about nothing. They're just regular people talking about regular things that happen, but with like kind of heightened for comedy. Whereas Curb especially is just like, it's just an outlet for anything that Larry David is annoyed by to put into a script, which works because if you're in any way curmudgeon-leaning, you watch it and you're just so validated. It does suck when people do that.
Yes.
And basically like the vibe of Larry David in the show Curb, like it's very much a heightened version of him too, is like Larry says the things that we all can't say in polite society.
Okay. Yes.
He does. He makes the statements. He has the arguments that we all want to, but you just can't possibly do in polite society. Well, next, what do you think happens?
What do I think happens in the middle? Yeah. I think he's a curmudgeon for a very long time.
I mean, that's basically it.
And then he doesn't change. And
at some point, him and his wife divorce.
Yes. I did notice that. And I was like, I was a little sad because at the start, I did like their dynamic. Yeah. And I was like, this is really cute. But is that his actual wife?
No, that's Cheryl Hines. She's an actor. She is married to RFK Jr.
Who that?
Kennedy, who is now running for office and he's super right-wing and anti-vax. She's married to him. And I've always wondered, what does Larry think about that?
Weird.
Because Larry's quite, he's a lefty.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've all got someone that we love dearly who, you know, is friends or partners or related to someone else that you go, what?
Really?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah. Well, I think we all have, you know, I mean, we all have someone in our family that we're like, I hope they don't speak to the public.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't get out. God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, these people are famous, so we all know about who that is in their circle.
Yes, exactly.
Can I ask, why do him and his wife get a divorce?
She just gets over it. She gets over the curmudgeonness.
It's fair enough.
He's not a good husband. And we're not meant to think that he is. He's like such a beloved and lovable character, but he's very much the character that if you met him in real life, like he'd be murdered. He'd be bashed daily.
There'd be a group chat with everyone but him in it. Everywhere he went.
Yeah, like he wouldn't be able to get away with this, really.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so fun to watch.
Yes.
So in the Curb finale, as Alexi Toliopoulos predicted, we end with the court case.
Yes.
Very similar to the original court case of the Seinfeld finale, where Larry is being tried for something and they bring in character witnesses, aka cameos from through the series, to talk about their experiences with Larry.
Wait. What was he on trial for? That was not super clear.
As I was watching the finale, I literally said to Luke, I'm like, should I tell Beck what the trial's for? Because this would be really confusing.
But I got
confusing.
The point of it was that it was like he got tried for something that was like a weird bullshit law that he didn't know he was breaking at the time. He thought he was just doing something normal. And then now there's this big deal about it.
Well done. That's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah.
Your perception skills are fantastic, my love.
It's almost like I picked up the format and just ran with it.
Well done. It's almost like you get comedy. Yeah. So what it is at the beginning of the season, he goes to Atlanta and so you know Leon, the black guy?
Yes.
Who I've decided and everyone thinks is the new Kramer character. It's his crazy side character.
I loved him.
Oh, I'm so glad.
The fact that he kept bringing up Seinfeld was so funny. He's like watching it as it's going. I was like, I really like that.
That was very smart. I really enjoyed that because everyone's watching this, watching for the nods to Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought it was so cool to have Leon's, because Leon's been in the series at least in season 4. He originally comes on because him and his family have been displaced by Hurricane Katrina. This is back when Hurricane Katrina happened. And there's a lot of well-to-do families in LA who are like housing families who are displaced by Hurricane Katrina. So Leon Black and his entire family live with Larry for like a season.
Oh, cute.
It's very funny. And then Leon stays on in the pool house.
Okay, great. Like Ryan Atwood from the OC.
Exactly.
Go to Monday's episode if you haven't.
Oh my God, I forgot Ryan lived in the pool house.
Yes. Of course. The most beautiful pool house that has a crazy view over the ocean. We never see the ocean because it is filmed in a studio.
I once lived in a pool house in LA as well.
What?
The comedian that I worked for and I was homeless and he let me stay in his pool house for a while, not in a weird way.
I mean, that rarely ever happens.
And so, yeah, wow. But it's not in a weird way. Yeah. So I'm Leon, I'm Ryan. That's what it basically says.
Yes, yes. But I loved also the realness of someone who's been your friend for a long time, only now just watching
your biggest thing that you've done.
Someone I love recently was like, I've just started listening to Dude Cinema. I was like, what the fuck? I thought we were friends. And it's like, oh no, I do that shit. I have friends who've, you know, put comedy specials out that I'm like, I'll watch it.
Oh,
I'm going to watch it.
100%. I don't have the time. I'm too busy being your friend.
Yes.
I don't have time to homework you.
Also, sometimes it's weird as a comedian when you're like friends with someone and then you see them on stage and be like, oh, a comedian. You're like, that's not you.
Yuck. Yuck.
You're not like that.
Yuck. Yeah. So I thought it was an excellent choice, like technique to have Leon just in this episode for the first time watching Seinfeld. So he's peppering in little, like, just little observations about Seinfeld throughout the episode, which was so cool. Like, I love that he says something that everyone has been thinking for so long. He calls Seinfeld a show about weekly ass because in Seinfeld, one of the things is that Jerry has a new beautiful girlfriend every week.
Oh.
Like, just a new – every week he's got a new girlfriend. There's been, like, people have counted how many girlfriends Jerry had throughout the 9 seasons. It's, like, so many. And so Leon just calls Seinfeld a show about weekly ass. Like, it's so fun.
Silly.
That was very cool. But, yeah, so the court case that he's being tried for is he went to Atlanta and he visited Leon's mum, who is this woman, Loretta Black. She's a beautiful old black lady. And she is – at one stage during their trip, lining up to vote. Mm-hmm. And in Atlanta, it is illegal to bring someone a bottle of water who is in line to vote.
Why?
Some kind of obstruction situation.
Oh, because you could be seen as bribery or something.
Maybe. But basically, like, these people are standing in line for hours, like hours and hours. Like, the Jesus. Voting system in America sucks. So people are standing in the Atlanta heat, like, just... So basically, Larry brings Loretta a bottle of water, not knowing it's illegal. He's just like, you're thirsty.
Yeah.
Here's a bottle of water.
Yeah. Oh, and he's trying to change his curmudgeon ways.
Exactly. And he gets charged for it. And that's the trial that he's currently sitting.
So, okay.
So they end it. Well, they do this finale in a very similar fashion to the Seinfeld finale. But they do so many nods to the Seinfeld finale. And
like them getting locked up.
Like them getting locked up.
Larry getting locked up. Like
Larry getting put in the holding cell.
And then they imply that's the end of, and they call back to the first episode, which I watched, the pants tent.
Similar to the Seinfeld finale, they talk about the same thing they spoke about in episode 1 of Seinfeld. Ah! In the Curve finale, they talk about the same thing they talked about in the Curve first episode.
And then they act like that's the end of it. But then it's not.
Guess what? This is the make good part. Because a lot of people were like, why did it end with them going to jail? Like, that's so fucking random.
Yeah.
In Seinfeld. Like, these are just characters that we love and just have regular lives. And we end with them having to go to jail for a year. Like, that's crazy.
Mm.
So the make good of The Curb is, in my opinion, is that they're like record scratch almost.
Yeah.
Like, actually, he's not stuck in jail.
And then Jerry comes and saves him from jail.
And Jerry saves
him. Oh, my God. The symbolism.
There's a lot of layers in this. And as they leave, Jerry says, hey, we should have done this in the finale. And Larry's like, oh, we should have.
Yeah.
So it was just lovely.
Gorge.
It was lovely. Oh, also, just a shout out for any fans, Jerry Seinfeld talking to Leon's character is just a thing I would never thought I would see on screen.
Whoa.
And I thought that was really cool.
He hates black people?
Yeah, famously. Okay. No, that's Kramer. I loved the weird cameos they put in. Allison Janney was in it.
Yeah.
She's not been in it ever before.
What?
This was her first.
I mean, if you can get Allison Janney. You know, what are you doing?
Anyway, that's my love fest of Curb Your Enthusiasm finale. R.I.P. Richard Lewis, of course.
R.I.P.
I'm so glad he made it to the end.
Oh, gorge. Gorgeous show. I'm glad I know everything about it now.
Thank you so much.
Finally, after, was it 7 years of friendship? And me being like, I'm going to watch it. Finally.
Oh, quick shout out.
Yes.
So the first Christmas that Luke and I spent together, which was only 2 months after we started dating.
I wanted to bring this up at the top.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I forgot about it until now. our first Christmas was only 2 months after we started dating. Mm. We literally bought each other the exact same Larry David print and had it framed.
And then you revealed it at the same time. You're like, no way, dude, true love shit. And now
I opened mine from him first. I remember it was clear as day, Christmas morning. I opened mine from him and I was like, and I had to keep it to myself that he's about to open literally the exact same print from Redbubble.
And now look at the ring. Show them the ring. Show them the ring. And that's how it goes.
This is what Larry David did this.
That's her season finale, bitch. Just kidding. It's just the beginning.
Aw, cute.
All right, well, from something old to something new.
Yes.
Okay, so we were going to do Ripley this week on Netflix. Because everyone was like, it's similar to Saltburn. And I was like, okay, cool. Oh, my God, it's got the hot priest from Fleabag in it. It's got Dakota Fanning, which, like, very exciting to see her as an adult always. And I suggested this, and then last night I started watching it and I messaged you and I said, Alexia, have you started watching it yet? And you said, no. I said,
and that always means one of two things. It's amazing and you can't wait to talk about it. And vice versa to me as well when I message you. Or it's a piece of shit. I'm so glad you haven't watched it yet.
Yes. And it was the latter. It was not a piece of shit. It's just so quiet and slow and it's in black and white.
That feels obnoxious.
Yeah.
Is it an obnoxious black and white?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's like, it didn't need to be in black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost felt like there was a color grading issue and then they were like, just put it in black and white.
Just put it in black and white.
But look, it looks beautiful, but I was like, no, I literally watched two episodes and I was like,
You watched two episodes?
Because I didn't realize that another one started because nothing had fucking happened.
Finished or begun.
Also, our message was like, please, can we do something else? I've just heard that this show Baby Reindeer came out and it's causing a buzz, causing a flutter.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open to it?
And guess what? I was open AF.
Yes.
Because I hadn't watched anything yet.
So yes. I was like, thank God. This episode would have ended by now if we were doing Ripley. I would have said everything I needed to say just then.
Yeah. That's my review. So instead, we watched Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
Which is a whack as fuck show.
So had you heard about this before the last few days?
No, I'd only
this week
seen, like, it came up on a couple of my Google alerts of people being like, here's why it's actually a good show, da, da, da. And I was like, oh, interesting. And I just started, like, seeing it trickling down on, like, it in the peripheries.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I feel like this is going to be something.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be something big.
I fucking loved it.
Okay, so I watched 2.5 episodes. I know we said we were only going to do two.
That's so fine.
But I couldn't fucking stop.
If you're feeling it, you're feeling it. All right, I watched 2 episodes.
That's fair enough. Okay, so this is the story.
Yeah.
And it's based on a true story, which I didn't know.
What? Based this?
Yes.
I want that documentary too, actually, please.
Yes. So I had no idea it was a true story beforehand. And so it comes up because based on a true story, and it's about a struggling comedian in London, and he gets a female stalker, which is a really nice break from the regular true crime format that we see.
That's very true.
Still troubling. You know, part of it, you're like,
I can exhale a little bit.
Oh, God. She's probably not going to kill him, you know?
I mean, she might. We've all seen Misery. Right.
So he gets a woman who's a stalker, who's also a pathological liar, and it's based off a show he did in Edinburgh.
What?
So he did an hour show about this, and now it's become this TV series.
The guy who wrote it?
Yes.
Is a comedian who did a show. So it's a Fleabag?
Yes.
Cool.
Right.
Because you see his name, the credits are very cool. The typing and the credits and stuff, and I see his name come up.
And how it's laid out of, like, the combination of the voiceover and the types of the messages, like, between
the interstitials of...
I'm sorry?
It's no big deal. Like, let's...
Hello?
Let's not focus on it. I mean,
Oxford Dictionary, you're fucking fired. I have someone here that's here to take your fucking job.
We've got a new dictionary queen.
Interstitial.
Yes, the things that break up the scenes. But yeah, I thought that was very cool. Yeah, all of the technical stuff around the format is very cool.
Yeah.
Just get that out of the way.
Yeah. Yes. Richard Gadd is the comedian's name.
Okay.
And he plays the main guy in it as
well. Wait, that's him?
Yes.
It's about him?
Yes.
That's even cooler.
Right.
I didn't know. I thought it was written by some other guy, and this guy's just an actor. I love this show.
It's okay. It's such a crazy story.
Yeah.
But it's so well told. You're so right of like how it's cut together and everything is
so well told. Amazing. No, you're right with the voiceover. I completely forgot about the voiceover narration.
Yeah.
Excellent exposition.
And like the honesty of like how he is a flawed character and his part in this and how he let it get so bad is so honest and real.
I was not expecting that from this show because I knew it was about a stalker going into it. Like I've seen, like it's been all over the Netflix homepage. And as soon as we start learning that like, yeah, he is flawed.
Mm.
He's not a good guy. He almost encourages this woman to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, and then he also does a lot of, like, makes some other decisions that we'll talk about. But, like, the fact that, yeah, that he's flawed and he's not a perfect victim or I thought was so fascinating, especially coming into a stand-up comedy mind frame, stand-up comics mind frame.
Mm.
And when just naturally narcissistic, self-involved people who love praise.
Mm.
So it's so real that when he's presented with this woman who's obsessed with him, that he would kind of lean into it for a while.
Yes.
I loved that.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that at all. You're right. So honest.
Yeah. And also portraying how when comedy's not going well, you do become hungry and desperate for attention.
Yes. Ooh.
What did you think of his prop comedy?
Oh, the prop comedy. Oh, God. I love it. I think it's so real of someone who's moved to a big city, wants to make it in stand-up comedy, thinks he's found a niche that needs to happen in stand-up, which is just silly props. And he sucks at it. They're not good prop. It's bad. And that now knowing that this is actually based on him, that's so honest too. And
it's also so real of a comedian writing about their past work. Like, because if anyone's like, oh, like,
yes,
right from a objective perspective, what your old material was like, it was like, I'm Beck Charwin and I'm a freaking stupid idiot.
Look at me, I'm Alex Cher. Can't stop talking about dating. Find something else to talk about.
Isn't that a great observation? Idiot.
Yeah, everyone has sex. Move on.
Yeah, I guarantee his stuff is like not that bad at all.
True.
I guarantee it's fine.
He's probably fine.
But yeah, if we had to write how we felt about jokes that we did, even if it was just like 4 years ago, which generally everyone else is like, this is great.
It's fine. Yeah, we were being booked at the store. It must have been okay.
Yeah, it's good. People are like that. But in your head, you're like, no.
Well, the first thing I thought that was very real and honest is this woman. So the woman comes into his bar that he works at and he feels sorry for her. In a very condescending way. He starts to feel sorry for her because she's like, she's frumpy and she's like, doesn't have her hair nice and she's alone. And he starts to put this like persona onto her that he feels sorry for and then like get some gratifying feelings from feeling sorry for her. Like, I thought that was so real too. That's what we all do. Like, you see an old man having a coffee by himself and you're like, it's so sad.
Yeah.
His wife's probably at home and he's just ducked out for an hour to get some fucking peace and quiet. It's always old men.
It's, yes.
Being alone.
Like, he's experiencing a feeling. Someone witness it.
It's like, bitch, he's been experiencing feelings for 85 years. Yes. He's an old hack at this point.
Oh.
But it's that feeling of like putting what you think that this person is experiencing onto them and then feeling sorry for them about it. Like the old man being by himself having a coffee and you're like, he's got no one in his life. No, he's probably surrounded by so much family and friends.
Yeah. This might be the only moment of peace he knows.
Exactly. So that was really cool of a thing to kind of touch on humanity-wise. And then, yeah, definitely he is enamored by her being enamored by him.
Yes.
And he leans hard into it for a while.
The number of times where it's like, you should have cut that off, but he doesn't, because he just knows if he cuts her off, there's no one else to obsess over him.
Yep. And you can tell it's not a, if I cut her off, I'm worried how she'll retaliate.
Yes.
It might be that later in the season. But for now, in these first two episodes, it's not. Like, she's not threatening him. She's a lot.
Yes.
But there's no, like the police said when he tried to report it, there's no threats and stuff. He could have definitely cut this off quite safely.
Yes.
And he definitely chose not to.
Yes. And just the awareness of every time he chose a joke. And, like, the easy route.
The set he did when she was in the audience, do you mean?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
That whole interaction, I was like, that is my worst nightmare. Because now not only does she, like, has she seen you do well on stage.
Yes.
And is more obsessed with you.
Yeah.
She thinks you're a double act. Which regular hecklers do. Even without being stalkers.
It makes so much sense that a comedian wrote this show. It is so subtly nuanced to comedy. Yeah. It's so true because as soon I felt that for him because, like, he's bombing all the time is the kind of premise.
He's doing a comedy competition.
Which we've all done.
It's a rite of passage.
It is. And I love that he said, you know, I'm in my late 20s working a shitty job. Comedy's not going well. I was like, babe, same for everyone else.
Yeah.
It's so real. The moment where he's bombing and then she starts jumping in as she's not heckling him, but she's piping up from the audience. And then him interacting with her starts going well. Oh, my heart sank.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, that was real.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, no. Like you said, one, now the heckler's emboldened thinking that they're a double act. And two, it's just such a blow to the ego.
Yeah.
That your only set that went well is because someone was heckling.
Yeah. And the singing. I can't. For everyone just listening to audio, we're wincing to the fact we're almost turning inside out.
Like, my Botox is working hard right now. I'm trying to frown so hard, you guys.
Oh, my God. If ever a heckler was like, I'm going to sing, I would without hesitation, spear tackle them to the ground. And I would live with the assault charges. And every time someone was like, we got some assault charges, I'm like, let me tell you what happened.
Oh, you don't know their story. So you do a lot more crowd work than I do in our acts. Yeah, what if, like, if it was going well and then people were liking this heckler and then all of a sudden the heckler said, I want to sing, and then the crowd said, let her sing, what would you do?
I would ask what song, and then depending on the song.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
I would decide if it went ahead or not.
And then potentially riff off the song to get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a song like something that everyone knows.
And could potentially join in on.
Yes. Then I'd be like, okay, go for it. That's silly. That's fun. Give them their moment. They'll shut up.
Mm.
But if it was something bad, I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You freaking idiot. The best way to shut down. Like, shut up.
Yeah, true. And then a round of applause. You'd crowd be surf out of there.
Surprised how often that absolutely goes off. You'd be surprised how often that's enough. When people are like, how do you do with hecklers? That's it.
You just tell them, shut up. Like,
what's wrong with you? There.
Yeah. Fun.
Easy.
Yeah.
You're unimpressed, me too.
And so then we go into a storyline I was not expecting.
Yes.
So this must be real. True to life.
He is dating a trans woman and he's deeply ashamed of it.
To the point where he went on a trans dating website to meet a trans woman but made a fake profile because of the shame that he feels. Like, that's such an interesting.
Yeah.
Honest.
Yes.
As fuck storyline.
And yeah, and it adds like another level to his character where, like, oh, you're so not the perfect victim in this. And this is so complicated because you're also grappling with who you are and your sexuality and who you're attracted to and, like,
the society of it all.
Yes.
And also the lying part of it. So he's got this stalker who's, like you said, a compulsive liar, but he's also living a lie with this beautiful trans woman who seems to really like him.
Yes.
And he's got a complete fabricated job, name, everything.
Yeah. And then the line where she's like, yeah, it's illegal to have sex with someone under a false identity. And he like, for real, that was so dark and funny at the same time.
That was great.
Yeah.
It's dark. Yes. That's what it is. So dark and funny. It's the blackest comedy.
Mm.
Because, like, I was watching it today and Luke walked in and he's, like, kind of, like, watched a bit and nothing funny happened in the one moment he walked in on. But he was like, oh, do you know which part he walked in on? When she starts jerking him off at the river.
No, no, that was really fucked up.
I had to fast forward through that, actually. That made me really uncomfortable.
That was full on. Mm. But, again,
rarely. But that's when Luke walked in.
Oh, God. But I think it's – rarely do you see men being sexually assaulted by women.
Exactly.
And I think it's this is the part of this story. It doesn't pull away at any point. It's like, this is grimy. This is messy. There's so many fucked up parts of it. I'm going to tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make her out to be completely crazy.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to show you how I encouraged this.
Yeah.
And not in a victim blamey way, but I consciously decided to let this happen.
Yes.
Well, it's the moment that he accepts her friend request on Facebook.
Yes. That was such a good scene of him being like, oh my God, she's crazy. I can't, oh my God, there's something wrong with her. She's been like in jail for 4 years for stalking. Yeah. Da, 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 and then accept request.
I just got a chill. That's such good storytelling.
It's so good.
And it is so funny, though. I feel like we have it is very funny as well. And that's what when Luke walked in and saw that terrible jerking off scene and I had to fast forward through it, he's like, is this a comedy?
Yeah, yeah.
Babe, honestly, I've been cracking up this whole time. It's such a great balance between dark and light.
Mm.
Like, when he tries to push her off, like, he never just says no when you're not my girlfriend, we're not dating.
Yes.
Like, out of wanting for her to still be obsessed with him, but also just like chicken shitness.
Yeah, not wanting to cause a scene, which a couple of times I understood.
Sure.
But then it got to a point where I was like, you need to just yell help.
That would have been a perfect opportunity. Like when she messages him on Facebook and she's like, I had a really nice date tonight. And he starts to say that wasn't a date and he deletes it.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been so easy to just communicate that to her. Ugh, it's so nuanced. But when one of the taxis he tries to do to get her off, like wanting to move her away from wanting to be his girlfriend, is he says, I want kids and you're a bit older than me. So, you know, that's why this wouldn't work. She sends him all these emails, which we see, which now I realize, were probably actual emails he received in real life. Talking about her period and how fertile she is. She's
got the eggs of a 20-year-old. Just like, and even then at that point, he's like, oh, I don't want to make too much of a fuss. You're like, what the fuck?
This is on you now. This is totally on you.
Yeah. Oh.
Another funny moment, which I loved, is like towards the end of episode 2. He's on a payphone to the booker of the comedy competition.
Oh, my God. This was.
And he's like asking if he can move it to a different day and stuff. And then at the end of the call, we only hear his side of the call.
He's so, like, you go.
He goes, thank you, Jace. Can I call you Jace? All right, thanks, Jason.
Gag. There's so many like little just like
peppered very throughout. Well written.
And also just like the texts in between each scene are, a lot of them are fucked up, but they're comedy beats.
Yes. Because it's all her terrible spelling. And the fact when I love when he mentioned that like some words she can't spell for shit, but then she'll spell really long words perfectly.
Yes, like cunnilingus.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Damn.
So, safe to say, I love this.
I love this. Should we keep doing it?
Yes. Oh, my God. You can't stop me.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Well, what we can do, maybe, well, it's only 7 episodes. For the next 2 weeks,
we'll probably knock it out tonight.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Just try to remember what happens per ep.
Yeah.
Well, let's do ep 3 and 4 for next week and maybe then round it out the week after.
Yeah.
Great. Because this is what I would love on Screen Queens, if we find a series that we like. Say maybe when the next season of And Just Like That comes out.
Maybe.
We might do the whole thing. But I would love to finish this chat with the final scene of episode 2, which I thought was just, oh God, it hit, oh, it's a lot, where his girlfriend is saying, kiss me, and it's on a train in a public space, and he can't bring himself to kiss her in public because people are watching, and the doors open behind him, and he just steps out of the train without saying anything and lets the doors close, and she just...
Dude.
Oh.
Just this man in confrontation.
Yes.
Don't know each other. They've never met. They've never met.
I would like to give a shout out to the cinematography in this.
Ooh.
I thought it was, did you like how it was shot?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. Like the intense close-ups, especially on her, on Martha's character.
Jessica Gunning is an exquisite actress. She's amazing.
I believe it. I believe she is a crazy lady.
I want to be there for when she workshopped the laugh.
Oh.
The laugh is so scary.
But it's so interesting that he is endeared by her laugh, even though it's fucking psycho sounding.
So scary.
But she's laughing at him, so he loves it. It's just so good. But, yeah, so many beautiful, like, where...
Shut up.
Shush.
Thank you.
Sorry, we just had a heckler.
No, I'm sorry about that.
By the way of a police siren outside. And you know what? You told him to shut up and it worked. Oh. I take that back.
Shut up, bitch.
That's it. There's so many beautiful close. It really gave me Edgar Wright vibes at the beginning. Ooh. Like a lot of like quick cuts, close-ups. Just very like just jaunty and fun. But like really interesting angles. I don't know, it just looked really nice. But yeah, the close-ups in her I think are fantastic.
Great. So good. Look, speaking of fantastic shows, I would like to give a shout out to a show I watched just quickly called Big Mood.
Okay.
With Nicola Colan, who's in Derry Girls, and the upcoming season of Bridgerton.
Okay.
And it is all about bipolar. And if you know me, you know I just love
it. You have that.
I love it. I love bipolar. I love having it.
Got
it's
that
so
one.
Fun. No, but I've got it. I've got it. And it is... The first episode is a great example of what a manic episode looks like.
Oh, shit.
But, like, in a way that's, like, quite subtle and cool. To, like, oh, all of a sudden it's happening. And you're like, oh, okay. It's fucking great.
Oh, great.
I watched the whole season. I think there's 6 episodes. They're only half an hour long in, like, 2 days.
Love.
Highly recommend.
Awesome.
Highly recommend.
I'll definitely watch that for research, if nothing else.
Thank you.
On how to be a better friend to my friend.
No, you can't.
Oh.
Be a better friend.
Oh.
Because you're already the best and you're perfect.
Stop it.
And I love you.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. We're off to the comedy store.
All right. Gonna have some wands hang out.
More wands.
Tell some people to shut up.
And don't sing a song.
Yeah, and unless it's Working Class Man by Jimmy Barnes or nothing.
But not Kason, because people can only join in on the chorus.
Yes. Anything with a bit of music trivia. Okay, we love you.
Love you.